Scripture, and then we're going to pray for people, and then we're going to conclude our time with a time of communion, the Lord's table. And I just remind you that we celebrate an open communion here, which simply means if you've received Jesus as your Savior, you're invited to this ordinance, this ceremony, this opportunity to reflect on Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We have broken bread that represents Jesus' broken body, and we have fruit of the vine in a cup representing Jesus' shed blood. And so we will conclude our time, and we invite you, if you have received Jesus, to be a part of that time with us. Well, we're in a series that we've titled One Another. And there are 59 one another's found in the New Testament. They're actually commands. We call them injunctions or imperatives. They're commands on how we should interact with one another. And last week we talked about love one another. And that's a huge command, but it's an impossible command. There's no way we can do it. We must receive God, who is love, and His Son, who expressed and lived out a life of love here on earth. You have to have Jesus, or you can't love the way God commands us to love. And that's what we talked about last week. What I've realized is that all of the commands to love one another, all 59, to do one another, to live life one another, really come under the heading of loving one another. And the actual statement, love one another, is the most frequent one another command found in the New Testament. And today I'm going to posit for us two of the one another's that will bring us to a point where we really need to pray for one another and can pray for one another because of that. If you want a title for today, it's Coming Alongside. And it's Build Each Other Up. That's not actually the one another we're going to look at, but that is one of the one another's. Today I want to look at bearing one another's burdens and encourage one another. So in Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2, writing to that church, the Holy Spirit said through Paul this, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him, or such a one, with a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch over yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now, Paul has written extensively up to this point about the fact that we're no longer under the law, the Ten Commandments, what's found in the Old Testament, the 613 different aspects of the law, if you will. The Ten Commandments continue. You'll find that there's still an admonition to not murder, to not steal, to not commit adultery, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, to not put anything in front of Him. That still stands, but as far as being judged by the law, we've been set free in Christ. And now we're under the law of Christ, which is grace and mercy. And that's what Paul means here when he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Ephesians 4:2 says, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bear with one another in love. And so I want us to look at this statement of bearing one another's burdens. And again, under the heading of coming alongside. First of all, this word that we translate bear is bastazo, and it means to take up or to shoulder or to carry. It's an idea that each one of us goes through life with a backpack. And there's a lot of good things that get put in that backpack, but there's a lot of difficult and hard and overwhelming things, including sin. And that's the context here when someone is caught in a sin, and that has a twofold aspect to it, that you're exposed in sin, But the other dynamic of that is to be caught in a sin, as in caught in a trap. You see, each one of us has propensities towards various ways of acting out as human beings, and my way is not necessarily your way. It's being caught in this trap of sin. It's essentially, that's all of us in some way or some form or another, to a greater degree or another, depending on what's going on in your life. But when we talk about bearing one another's burden, it is to take up, to carry, shoulder, or support. So if we're walking through life with this backpack that gets overwhelming and heavy, it's the idea that I come alongside you, and I don't know if you've ever been on a hiking trip and you have a heavy pack. I know I have. One time I took some middle school students on a 3-day camping hiking trip, and at the end of it, so we went up Silver Creek Trail, which goes from Lynx Pass to Buffalo Pass up on Rabbit Ears, and we camped up there a couple days. We ended the time, since that area on the road is only 3 miles from Mount Elam Bible Camp, we ended our time at Mount Elam Bible Camp. And it was just a wonderful thing. So I'm taking these 6 junior high kids, and 2 of them, God bless them, agreed or volunteered to pack everybody's packs. So everybody brought their stuff to the church. We put it in the kitchen, and these 2 wonderful saints packed everybody's backpack. My backpack weighed more than I did. The 2 who packed them, they had toilet paper and Top Ramen and these wonderful saints that volunteered to pack everybody's pack. What a wonderful experience that was. But I don't know if you've ever had a pack like that. And so this trail that we walked is 3 miles before it levels out, and it goes up over 1,000 feet. It's pretty steep. And every once in a while, I was dying, thank you. I was younger then. Not much handsomer, a little bit, but I was younger then. So every once in a while, as I'm walking, one of the kids would come up and lift my pack and walk with me. And they would suggest every once in a while that I take it off. And one of those, not one of the ones who packed the packs, one of these true saints on the trip actually carried my pack for me for a little while. That's the idea here, that we bear one another's burdens. And burden is a borrows, it's a weight, it's a heaviness, and in this context, trouble, but especially guilt. You know, we're to come alongside each other even when one of us is exposed in sin. And that's a difficult thing because we don't want to affirm sin, we don't want to justify, minimize, or excuse. We don't want to enable. But the interesting thing, again, this is the background here, the context is talking about sin, but it's much broader. This bearing one another's burdens is the reality that the difficulty of life is because sin entered the world. Life is not as it should be. It started out perfect and got wrecked when 2 human beings, and it wouldn't matter who was there, chose to go their own way and disobey God and listen to Satan. And because of that, sin entered the world. And there's this condemnation that marks all of us. And so the idea of bearing one another's burdens is the reality that even sickness and difficulty in life and poverty and everything that's not right that we experience is the burden. And Paul says here that those of you who are spiritual, the idea isn't perfect because nobody's perfect, but especially in the context of this exposure of sin, those of you who aren't with that sin, you come alongside, and we all come alongside each other in terms of the broader sense of bearing burdens, but we come alongside and the goal is restoration. You who are spiritual should restore this person in a spirit of gentleness. And the word restore here is katarizo, and it's very similar to a word we were looking at a couple months ago, orthopaideia, which is making straight teeth or bones, orthopedics. Many of you in this room know all about that because you're seeing an orthopedic clinic or surgeon. This word, katarizo, is the same kind of thing. It means to render, to fit, to make sound, to make complete, to mend, to repair, to equip, to put in order, to arrange, to adjust, to prepare. It's the idea of to take something that's not as it should be and help it to become what it should be. So if that's separated or broken bones, you set them. If it's a house or shed or something that's not level, you level it. But one of the ideas here is that we're called into this process of how God restores somebody, how somebody takes things that aren't right, that aren't straight, and they're made straight. And it's to be done in a spirit of gentleness, gently. So think of a medical process. Now, I've watched a bone being set, and it doesn't seem very gentle. That one seems kind of really hard, you know. And every once in a while, a medical person comes up to you, and they're like, "Oh, let me look," and you're like, "Ah." That one's not gentle, but think about the recovery period that takes place after that. Think about how we our bodies heal, and it takes time, and there's this restorative process that happens. And that's the idea here, is that we come alongside each other gently. It's purposeful, it's patient, it's time consuming. And sometimes it's hard. And then Paul ends his section with a little warning or a reminder. It says, be careful. But keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. One of the favorite verses in Celebrate Recovery is 1 Corinthians 10:12. So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins one to another and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person avails much. And Colossians 3:13 says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, even as the Lord has forgiven you, you must also forgive. So there's this idea of we come alongside each other. We walk through life together. We gently restore each other. We're in a process of doing this to one another, bearing one another's burdens. The second aspect I'd like to look to under this heading of coming alongside is, so of the 59 one another commands, love one another is the most frequent. I can't remember how many times, but about a third of the one another's are some part of love one another. The next most frequent command is to encourage one another. And the really interesting thing is it's consistent as to what Greek word is translated to encourage. And it's parakaleo or parakaleo. It's in the family of and a sister word to the paraclete, parakletos, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it's good for you that I go. just before his death, it's good for you that I go, for if I go to the Father, I will send another Parakletos, a comforter, an advocate, a friend, and he will be with you, and he will be in you. And so there's this reality of the Christian life that we have in one hand, if you will, the Holy Spirit called alongside, the paraclete, the advocate, the friend. And as the body of Christ, we're in a relationship, a parakaleo relationship. We're called alongside each other. It's like you're walking down the road with the Holy Spirit in one hand and the body of Christ in the other. This word is translated exhort or encourage or comfort. See, God is the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. And He extends to us and through us this ministry of comfort, of encouragement. And sometimes it's admonishing or exhorting somebody. It's loving people enough to challenge them about something in their life. 1 Thessalonians 4:18 says, therefore encourage one another with these words. And the words that preceded that statement are all about, it's where we find the concept of the rapture. We find the concept that God takes care of His people in the end. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. And Hebrews 3:13 says, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today. It's called today. Today. We encourage one another. So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Here's the powerful thing about if we operate in what God's called us to in this building up one another relationship, this encouragement relationship, it keeps people from being hardened by sin's deceitfulness. It actually means that those who are being encouraged have less propensity to become bitter or hardened by sin's deceitfulness. But those who are doing the encouraging, it does the same thing for them. God's so amazing how He works simultaneous realities. So as you encourage others, you keep yourself from being hardened by sin's deceitfulness. As you're encouraged by others, you are kept from being hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And then Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how we may stir one another up toward love and good deeds, or good works, not neglecting meeting together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, parakaleo, encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So today, you are fulfilling the Scripture. You're choosing to meet together, even though some have the habit of not doing that. And we have an opportunity to encourage one another as we see the day approaching. So there's a wonderful, intentional ministry that God does through us. It's coming alongside each other. It's bearing one another's burdens, and it's encouraging one another. And today, and for the next few minutes, we're going to practice some of that. So one of the primary ways that we encourage one another, one of the primary ways that we come alongside each other, is to pray for one another. Now here's one reality. I can't bear your burden. I can't encourage you if I don't know you, and if I don't know what your burden is. It's one of the reasons we encourage you to be involved in some kind of meeting outside of the one we're in right now. I mean, there's too many people to really, really connect and understand. What happens in a smaller group when you're studying the Bible, when you're fellowshipping together, is the reality of some of the burdens of your life get exposed in a good way and in a healthy and appropriate way. And so a smaller group can bear each other's burdens much more than a larger group. But today, we're going to practice encouraging one another in the primary aspect of that in prayer. There are other ways that we bear one another's burdens and we encourage each other. When we realize somebody's in financial need, we come together as a body. When somebody needs some kind of help, you know, it's always refreshing when somebody comes here and says, "Wow, I called the church and said I needed this, or could I get help doing this?" And the need is taken care of before the end of the day. That's an awesome thing. That's encouraging one another. That's bearing one another's burdens. Well, this morning I have chairs up here, and it's not for those who will be serving communion. It's for those who this morning would allow us and like to have prayer regarding situations. There's a couple people with some medical things going on. I've asked to consider coming forward if they would. So if they and any part of their family would like to come up, that'd be great. But I really want to open this up for anybody who has any reason, any need that they would like to be encouraged and prayed for by the elders. So if the elders would come, and you come if you would like us to pray for you, we'd like to pray for you. And I've asked the team if they would just sing even while we're doing this. We'll have them start in a minute, but don't make me call you out by name if you have a need or reason to be prayed for. So I'm going to start calling out people who are caught in sin. Oh, sorry. Craig, Dan, no, just kidding. If you've got something going on, you know, we're living in a community that has a lot of uncertainty. There's job insecurity. There's who knows what's going to take place here in the next few years. I mean, if you're anxious, if you're overwhelmed, if anything is going on that you would like the body of Christ to just surround you and pray for you and love you, that's what this time is for. And so we just want to use this time, and we're going to ask these guys to sing even while we do that. So
Lord, turn His face toward.